الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. صل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين والخلص من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وربك يخلق ما يشاء ويختار ما كان لهم الخيارة سبحان الله وتعالى عما يشركون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Many people ask, why should God interferes in the ordination and the appointments of the Khulafa? We understand why he chooses prophets and messengers and apostles, but why their successors too? Why this job and this responsibility is not delegated to the people themselves to choose a successor to the prophet? Number one, there are two answers. Answer number one, why should God appoint a successor, an imam, a caliph, to continue this journey? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse 165, لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةِ. After appointing imams and prophets and messengers, after appointing them, sending them, so people should not have a plea against God on the Day of Judgment. People should not come to God and tell him, listen, there was a period, there was some time, 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, 5,000 years, you did not send anyone. You did not send us a teacher, a warner, a reminder. You didn't. So don't charge me. Don't hold me accountable. You did not tell me what is right and what is wrong. So you have no right to charge me. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. After we send those prophets and imams, we appoint them, people do not plea against God and they say, we did not know. Today, when people are charged, the easiest answer is, I don't know about this. God says, okay, I will make it very well known to you. This is number one. The second ayah in the Quran, in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 52. This is even more powerful. لِيَحْلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. We send prophets and messengers to make it very clear, bayyina, very obvious and very clear. We send clear evidence So those who perish after that, they might do so after understanding. And those who survive, they might do so after also understanding, full understanding. Not because of confusion. Not randomly some people go to paradise and randomly some of them go to the hellfire. No. We have a justice system. And the justice system says, those who go to paradise, they know why they are going. They look at their grades. This is their freedom, their free choice. They chose this path that will end up in paradise. And those who want to go to hellfire, they did that out of their freedom and full understanding and awareness. They were not misled. Nobody is misled on the Day of Judgment. And bayina, those who survive and those who do not survive. Both, they're going to have full understanding of their position and their choice. لِيَحْلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. So on that day, don't feel sorry for anyone. Sometimes in this life, someone is wrongly convicted. Wrongly convicted. They capture someone. They put him in jail. After 25 years, they come. 30 years, they say, we are sorry. You are not the criminal. You've been wrongly convicted. We are sorry. It happens. These things happen in this life. But there, it doesn't happen. Because the judge and the Supreme Court is the Lord, who is fully aware. And God does not need witnesses or evidence. He knows. He knows about everything. So nobody is going to be convicted wrongly or unjustly in that life. Nobody. Both the winners and the losers, they know why they are winners and why they are losers. Now, answering the question, why God has to interfere? Leave it for democracy. Leave it for the ballot box. Leave it for people to decide. Let them choose their own leader. Let's have elections. And we choose the imam. Not the imam of the masjid. Huh? By the way, the imam of the masjid is elected sometimes by people. I've seen it in other Islamic centers. Here you don't have choice, alhamdulillah. You have a fixed imam. But in other places, they choose the imam. They bring him, he has a contract, he has to sign, 4 years, 5 years. So, why the universal, when we speak about imam or khalifa, we mean the universal one. One who's successor to the prophet, not the one who leads the prayers or sits in a court here. No, this is not meant by an imam. The real imam, the real caliph, is the universal one. Why should God appoint him? Again, God answers this question in many verses in the Quran. And we need to memorize them. We need to know about them. Number one, Allah says in Surah Al-Qasas, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Indeed, your Lord creates whatever He likes and He chooses. يختار. Chooses for what? The imams, they tell us that he chooses for leadership, universal leadership, which is imama and khilafa. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ. He's the one who creates, and he's the one who chooses certain people for universal imama and universal khilafa. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. And also he emphasizes, he makes it even more clear for us to understand. We leave no choice for them. We leave no choice. What do you mean? We have a choice. Is he speaking about a free choice in finding your way, in selecting your job, in choosing your wife, in buying a house? No. You are free. You are free. In all these things, you have a freedom, full of freedom. Even in choosing your faith, even in believing or disbelieving in Him, you have a free choice. You have a free choice and a freedom. But one thing, you have no free choice in that. When he selects the prophet for you, you cannot tell him, I don't like this prophet, give me that one. And in the ordination and the selection of the successors to the prophet, ما كان لهم الخيارة. We don't have choice. Here, we have to accept. Here, it's not open for our democracy. It's open for his wisdom and his choice and his selection and his ordination. ما كان, we leave no room for them to decide when it comes to khilafah. Why? Because khilafah is my business. God says khilafah is my business. Ahdi. Ahdi, this is my covenant. I don't give it to people to decide about it. I am the one who's going to decide about that. My friends, one of the branches of monotheism, Tawheed, which is the most important fundamental of our faith, Tawheed, is Tawheed, one of the branches is Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah. We have Tawheed al-Dhat, Tawheed al-Sifat, Tawheed al-Af'al, Tawheed al-Ibadah, many branches. One of them is Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah. What does that mean? It means the Hakimiyyah, the authority, the government, the control of this universe belongs to whom? Belongs to God. He decides. He says, I establish this kingdom. I establish the earth. I establish the universe. And I choose those who control it, those who are in charge, I choose them for this. We don't leave this choice for people to decide. ما كان لهم الخيار. In Surah Yusuf, إن الحكم إلا لله, judgment and authority and government or governance belongs only to God. إن الحكم إلا لله. He's the wali, he's the real guardian, he's the real boss. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهِ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I am the one who's appointing you. The ordination belongs to me. إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ. جَعَل. جَعَل means appointment. God says to Ibrahim, you and other prophets and other imams, I am going to appoint you. Not people. People have no say in this. In another verse, Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 124. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatah. God knows best where to place his message. Where to place his message. With whom he will pass his message and his book. He would not give it. Scriptures, revelations, wahi, he knows where to give it. Where to place it. Allahu A'lam, he knows best. Not us. We don't know best. Sometimes you trust someone, after 3 months, you lose that trust. I have seen men and women at the time of engagement, before marriage, they trust each other fully. After marriage, things start to shift away. The trust is going to fade away. Until they reach a point, they say, we don't trust each other. Absolutely no trust between us. What happened? 2 years ago, you trusted each other blindly. Because we don't have the wisdom that God has. Besides, we don't have the knowledge that God has. God can see to till the end of the journey. We don't see till the end of the journey. God sees before, after, and in the middle. We don't see that. Sometimes we lose the trust. Sometimes maybe you don't trust someone in the beginning, but you start trusting him or her later. Things are not fixed. Allah says, I know who to choose. I know who to trust. I don't trust anybody. Because God is not going to change his mind. He says to Ibrahim, today you are my representative, my prophet. Tomorrow he strips him away from his, role. Like the president, when he came to White House, so far 20, 30 people are out of the White House. Less than 1 year. God does not do this. God's White House is different. Different ruling. He knows. He says, I know best. Allahu A'lam. He knows best where to trust. Where to trust and where to place his message and his risala. Allah says about the anbiya, he says, I don't choose them randomly. وَلَقَدْ اخْتَرْنَاهُمْ سُورَةُ الدُّخَانِ وَلَقَدْ اخْتَرْنَاهُمْ We knowingly chose them عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عَلَىٰ الْعَالَمِينَ We knowingly chose them out of full awareness, full examination over the world. We did not appoint them blindly because we favor one and we don't favor the other. We don't do that. We look at their life, we look at their spirit, we look at their past, we look at their future. Then we trust them and we send them. There is a hadith, and this hadith has been mentioned in many of the books that speaks about the biography of the Prophet, the life of the Prophet. One of it is Sirat ibn Hisham, written by a Sunni scholar, As-Sirah al-Halabiyyah, another Sunni scholar. They say when the Prophet started preaching to the tribes outside Mecca, he reached out to them one by one, inviting them to accept this new message. Some of those tribal leaders, they said to him, Ya Muhammad, we will accept Islam on one condition. We have condition. And that condition, إِذَا أَثَّرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ خَالَفَكَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ بَايَعْنَاكَ If we accept your faith today, we pay allegiance to you. Would you accept عَلَىٰ أَمْرِكَ ثُمَّ أَظْهَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ خَالَفَكَ أَيَكُونُ لَنَا الْأَمْرُ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ That now we accept Islam with one condition. That after your death, we going to take over. We going to be the caliph and the imams after you. We have this condition. They make a deal, political deal. The answer of the Prophet was half a sentence. It was embedded in the Quran. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-Amru, this decision, who's going to succeed me, does not belong to me. I don't make this decision. Al-Amru ila Allah yada'uhu haythu yasha'. Don't ask me to appoint you or you. This is not my business. Even me, myself, I'm a delegate of God. He delegated me. I'm not someone who appointed myself by myself. So this business of succession and khilafah and imamah belongs solely to God. I cannot interfere in that. Many of them, they said, then we don't accept Islam. If you don't give us a position, if you don't promise us that we're going to succeed you, we are not going to accept this Islam. Therefore, in conclusion, this mas'ala, the concept of imamah and khilafah, my friend, it's an extension to the nubuwa, extension to the nubuwa. So every quality found in the Prophet has to be found in the Imam, in the Caliph, in the successor. With one exception. The Imam does not receive revelation, no more book, no more scripture, no more wahi, no more revelation. But his job and his role and his significance is the same like the Prophet. Because he continues. He continues the same path, the same responsibility. The same things the Prophet used to do in his community and universally, the Imam has to do. So he has to be very qualified. And how we can find someone who is very qualified? Can we do this business? Most people, they would not be able to do. They have to leave it to God to decide. God says, leave this business to me. I conclude with this story of Musa alayhi salam and the children of Israel, his community. Allah said to him, Musa, next time when you come to speak to me, to the Tur, to the mountain, bring the elite, the best of the best in your community. Bring me 70. So Musa, he went, he started selecting. I know this person, I know this person, I know this one. I've been knowing this, he's trustworthy, this is honest, this is good, this is pure, this is authentic, this is righteous. He collected, he made a list of 70. He said, tomorrow we're going to go together to speak to God. They were happy, excited. They're going to be with him in this, accompany him in this important journey, spiritual journey to speak to God? Well, this is very important. So he took this entourage of 70 of the best among Bani Israel. Once they reached the mountain, they said, Musa, we need to see God today. Allow us to see his face. How can we speak to someone we don't see his face? Let's FaceTime God. FaceTime now. Don't you FaceTime or Tango? You do this and WhatsApp through the camera. They said, let's see him. Musa said, listen, I worked on you. I taught you the principles of monotheism. God does not have a physical shape. We cannot see him. God is not a physical entity that your eyes can see him. We can see him through our souls, our hearts, our minds. They said, no. You cheated on us. Allah says, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّاعِقَ. The earthquake overtook them on that day. And those are the best. Those are the best in the community. And the one who selected them was the best, was Musa alayhi salam. Allah says, even the best sometimes, they misunderstand, they reject, they follow their desires. So leave the business of leadership for me to decide. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأهل بيته وأحبته عليا أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره روي عن سيدنا ومولانا الإمام أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال ليجتمع في قلبك الافتقار إلى الناس والاستغناء عنهم. In this society, in this community, we are human being and we need each other. We need to establish connections and relationships, human relationships with others. We need to have a friends, we need to have a brothers, sisters for emotional support, for psychological support, for physical support. We need each other. This is why God created people in tribes and nations and communities and families, so they recognize each other, they work with each other, and they help each other. No one can stay away from people. Some people, sometimes they get depressed, they stay at home. They don't leave the house, they don't leave the room. This is not healthy. This is not an answer. This is not a solution. To stay at home and don't speak to anyone, don't see anyone, you are not going to be healed. Your depression is going to further be exacerbated. and it will get worse when you don't speak to people. This is not a solution. The solution is to speak, is to go out, not to be lonely, to speak to people, to see that you are not the only one who's suffering from a loss, from ailment, from loneliness, from problems. Every single person in the community has his or her own problems, sometimes physical, sometimes mental, sometimes political, sometimes economic. So it's not good to stay away. You need people. People are your remedy. Nas and people are our remedy. They are medicine for us. When you speak to some of them, they will empower you. They will encourage you. They will strengthen you. So you need them. Don't stay away. But Amir al-Mu'mineen says, when you deal with people, be careful. You have to strike the balance. Be careful, because dealing with people not easy. It's difficult too. It's difficult. People are not equal. Some of them are oversensitive. Some of them are sensitive. Some of them have no sensitivities whatsoever. So you have to be careful in dealing with them. He says you need people and you don't need people. Amazing, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says you need people and also you don't need them. When you need them in certain areas. When you don't need them in certain areas too. So what does he say? He says, in your heart, let your heart gather both the need and the self-sufficiency that you don't need. Both of them have to be in your heart. لِيَجْتَمِعَ فِي قَلْبِكَ. Both of them, both these things. Needing people, الْإِفْتِقَارُ إِلَى النَّاسِ. You need them. You feel the indebtedness to people. The obligation to people. This is iftiqar. So you need them. وَالْإِسْتِغْنَاءَ عَنْهُمْ. At the same time, you have to be self-sufficient and you don't need them. So how can I need them and don't need them? I'm confused. He says, no, don't get confused. I'm going to tell you. The areas that you need them, and the areas that you don't need them. For the areas that you need them, فَيَكُونُ افْتِقَارُكَ فِي لِينِ كَلَامِكَ وَحُسْنِ بُشْرِكَ. You need people and you feel indebted to them and you owe them. You owe them what? You owe them leniency. You owe them tenderness and tolerance. When you speak to them, you have an obligation. You must speak nice to people. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. When you meet them, وَحُسْنُ بِشْرِكَ. Be pleasant. Pleasantness and cheerfulness. This is a must. This has to govern your relationship with people. You have to be humble. Stay away from arrogance. Always use your tongue for the best. You can build your life with your tongue. It's amazing. Also, you can destroy your life with your mouth and with your tongue. You can do both. You can attract people to yourself with your mouth, with your speech, with your tongue. And you can make them run away. Even your wife is going to run away from you. Definitely, she's number one on the list. And your children and your cousins, they stay away because of your tongue. Because of your tongue. So Amir al-Mu'mineen says, feel the obligation in indebtedness to people by speaking good. You must speak good. You don't say, no, I don't. I don't want to speak. I'm free. No, don't say I'm free. You are not free here. You have an obligation. You are a human being. You live in a community. You live in a society. You don't live in a cave. Once you live in a cave, you are free. But you don't. You live in Orange County. Sometimes you have to give concessions. So you have to speak nice. You have to be humble. You have to attract people through your manners and akhlaq. This is how we need them. Now, how you don't need them, stay away, don't ask. You don't need people here. وَيَكُونُ إِسْتِغْنَاءُكَ عَنْهُمْ. Your self-sufficiency vis-a-vis people. How is that? فِي نَزَاهَةِ عَرْضِكَ وَبَقَاءِ عِزِّكَ. Protect your name, protect your reputation. Don't let people slander you and curse you. Don't. When your behavior is good, people are going to praise you, commend you. People are not going to curse you. Once your name is mentioned, the family, your family's name, your children are mentioned, people are going to praise you. People are going to admire you. They are not going to curse. So protect your earth. Al-ard here means your name and your reputation. Protect it by not allowing people to curse you. وَبَقَاءِ عِزِّكِ And also maintain your honor and dignity by not asking them anything. If you are not, if you don't reach the brink of collapse, don't ask for help. Don't ask. And once you reach the brink of collapse, God is going to rush to your help. Don't ask. Do not lower yourself. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, once you ask others, you're going to be captives to them. وَاحْتَجْ إِلَى مَنْ شِئْتْ تَكُنْ أَسِيرًا You're going to be asir to that person. That person sometimes would scorn you, would offend you, attack you, insult you, and you can't say anything because you need that person. Try not to need as much as you can. Try not to ask people. And our imams, they tell us that definitely sometimes we need people. If we stay away, if we don't lower and cheapen ourselves, there is God who can see you. God, at the moment where you're going to collapse, He's going to rush to you and He's going to help you with dignity and honor. You don't have to lose your dignity. Don't ask people. Well, one sentence and one hadith and one story. About izzatun nafs wa iffatun nafs, the honor and the dignity of the soul. Some people cheat themselves by asking, by keep asking. Sometimes he doesn't need, she doesn't need, but it becomes a habit. When you cheapen yourself, it becomes a habit. So he keeps asking for things that he or she do not need. Don't do that. Your soul is the most important thing that you carry. You have to have dignity of the soul, self-respect and self-dignity. At the most difficult time when Ibrahim was about to be thrown into the fire, they sentenced him to be burnt in the fire, Jibreel came to him. He said, Ya Ibrahim, do you need help? Do you want me to help you? Ibrahim, he did not lose faith in God. He said, أَمَّا إِلَيْكَ فَلَا وَأَمَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَنَعَمْ I don't need your help, Jibreel. I know you are a mighty person. God says about Jibreel, ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينَ Basically, he's a superman. Superman. ذِي قُوَّةٍ with a might, عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ With his Lord, he's the most able. Jibreel. But Ibrahim said, no, I don't want you. وَأَمَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ As to my Lord, yes, definitely I need him now. Definitely I need him. This is when you put your trust in God. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ If you put your faith, your trust in him, definitely he's going to find you a way out and he will sustain you from ways that you never think about them. My friends, we are collecting money for the Zuwar and food. The Arba'een, those are also dignified people who leave their homes, who give everything to go for the ziyarah, and many people, they host them. And those who go to the Arba'een, not only from inside Iraq, millions of people from outside Iraq, they go to the ziyarah of Al-Imam Abu Abdullah. So please see Haj Samir Amiri, give him the money if you want to participate in taking care of the Zuwar of the Arba'een. And tomorrow, inshallah, we have the Arabic session at 6:30 Saturday, 6:30 p.m. with Salat al-Maghrib. There is also a Ziyara group for Iraq and Iran in December during the Christmas, 2 weeks. If you want, you can call the number and register for the Ziyara group, inshallah. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat, wal muslimin wal muslimat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات، إنك مجيب الدعوات، إنك غافر الخطيئات، إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات، إنك على كل شيء قدير. وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات. And please recite.